This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
Reading from the English Standard Version, Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honour such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me.
There are homes up and down the country that are dreading the next craft idea their child's primary school teacher instructs them to do during lockdown. We have made in our house farm animals out of toilet roll, an X-wing fighter out of an Amazon cardboard box, and a three-story house out of cereal boxes. And that's just a few examples. But I am thankful that I grew up watching Blue Peter, and I was always impressed at the Blue Peter craft. But what impressed me most wasn't the many things you can do with an egg box or the sticky back plastic. But for me, it was the moment they said, here's one I made earlier. Because at that moment, you no longer saw the egg box or the squeezy washing up bottle or the yogurt pot. Instead, you saw a pink pig money box. Or the time Anthea Turner made Thunderbird's Tracy Island. The transformation was amazing. Now, what has Blue Peter craft got to do with a letter written nearly 2,000 years ago to a group of Christians in the city of Philippi? That's a good question. Well, up to this point in Paul's letter, he's been saying how we are to live like Jesus, to show a Christ-like humility that has been concerned about others. So Paul writes, count others more important than yourself. Not only looking to your own interests, but look to the interests of others. And now in chapter 2, Paul, by writing about Timothy and Epaphroditus, is basically saying, and here's one I made earlier. Or to be precise, here's one God made earlier. Here's an example of what it looks like to live with the interests of others before your own interests. Here's the transformation that is possible with God in your life. So Paul looks at Timothy and Epaphroditus. Let's look first then at Timothy. Paul says that he, Timothy, has an authentic, genuine concern for others. Now, a concern for others doesn't come cheap. Paul says in verse 22 that Timothy has proved himself. And the word Paul uses here means something that has been tested under pressure, a character as a result of suffering. Paul writes about this elsewhere in his letter to the Romans that he co-wrote with Timothy. And he says, we find joy. We find joy in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. That's from Romans 5, verse 3 to 4. And the character Paul is referring to in Romans and here also in Philippians can only be formed through suffering, through cancer or chronic pain, unemployment, death of a dream, divorce of parents, fill in the blank with whatever you are up against. What is forming a character in you as you trust in God in the midst of your suffering? The beauty of the gospel, you see, is that this suffering you endure creates a character that is defined by hope. We only need to look to Jesus, crucified on a cross, not for his sin because he was sinless, but for our sin, and rose again as our hope of forgiveness, healing, and transformation. Hope characterizes Jesus. That's what was so attractive about him. And Paul says, this is Timothy's character. And the other thing Paul says about Timothy is that he has a relationship with him that is like a father and a son. Someone once said the definition of parenting is watching your flaws walk around on two little legs. Now, how true is that? It's not an easy experience being a parent. You have little defense when your kids come back is, but Dad, you do that. Or, but Mum, you say that. Now, the metaphor, though, of father and son that Paul uses is specific to a first century context in which Paul was writing. Because to speak of father and son relationship meant primarily to speak of a son following in his father's business. Be it farming, trading, joinery. A son was an apprentice, which is why Paul says, Timothy served me as a son serves his father. Paul is openly saying, Timothy learnt from me by imitating who I am. Every good teacher knows that every pupil or student needs a worked example to help them understand what success is. Jesus was the worked example for Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul, along with Lois and Eunice, who were Timothy's mother and grandmother, were Timothy's worked example. And Timothy and Epaphroditus were worked examples for the Philippians. Who are your worked examples? Who is your mother and father in the church family? Who are your spiritual parents in the kingdom of God who you are learning from? Who's further down the road of faith by a decade or two? And are you, older as you may be, living as a spiritual parent, sharing your faith in life with another who is coming behind? Are you taking time to show your faith, explain and pray with someone who's following behind you as a Christian in business, medicine, engineering, computing, sport, teaching, parenting, grandparenting, or just the challenges and experiences of being in a relationship? Younger generations coming behind us are not looking for perfection. We know from Paul's letters and the book of Acts that even Paul wasn't perfect. He had a temper, he was prone to worry, he was stubborn, but he was honest. And in his honesty, he was open about what God was doing in him and through him and what God had yet to do in him and through him. The best mentors are honest mentors because the only perfect mentor is Jesus. If you're looking for a spiritual mentor, if you're a younger Christian, you should seek out a spiritual mentor. Pray that God will give you the eyes to see and the boldness to approach them. Our culture prioritizes youth and beauty rather than age and wisdom. And then we wonder why we lack the resources to find meaning, contentment, or resilience in life. We need spiritual mentors. They are the worked examples. In them, God says, here's one I made earlier. And in them, we see hope that this life of faith is possible, that the gospel is good news. Paul was mentioning Timothy in his letter to bring hope, good news to the Philippians, because Timothy has given everything, his whole life, to God, to following Jesus. Let's take a moment now to worship God, using a song by Tim Hughes called Everything. It comes from an ancient Celtic poem that says, God to enfold me, God to surround me, God in my speaking, God in my thinking. Let's worship God prayerfully as we sing this song together, that God in our everything may show hope through us.
Be my everything, be my everything.
So, as it turned out, Paul tells us that Timothy wasn't able to go to Philippi. It's possible he may arrive at a later date, so he includes this introduction. But Paul says he's sending Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is a Philippian, but he's been staying with Paul and helping him during his house arrest. But poor Epaphras is homesick. He's upset that the Philippians are upset because they heard he was upset due to serious illness. However, Epaphroditus is now healed. We don't know the exact story of his healing, but we do know that for Paul it was pretty miraculous because Epaphroditus could have died. But his healing is tied up with our faith in God, who's still the God who comes back from the dead. So Epaphroditus is living testimony to what is possible with God. Paul knows the effect Epaphroditus could have upon the church of Philippi. They need him. They need to know his story to have his worked example of hope among them. The name Epaphroditus is from the goddess Aphrodite. And the Greek mythological story of this goddess was a story of cheating and adultery. And it seems in the first century, Aphrodite was the goddess called upon to help in gambling. When a gambler rolled the die, they called out, Epaphroditus, calling down a blessing from Aphrodite. And Paul says Epaphroditus lived up to his namesake. He risked his life, or to be exact, he gambled his life for the gospel, and it paid off. Epaphroditus was named after a Greek god, but the one true God made something out of Epaphroditus, like a Blue Peter craft using junk art to make something of greater worth and value. Paul describes the value and worth of Epaphroditus in four ways, and I want to say something very briefly about each of the metaphors that Paul uses. The first metaphor is that of a brother. Paul often uses the phrase brothers and sisters. He was forever emphasizing how we are a family of God, called to spread God's blessing, to make known his salvation. When we live in this family-like way, we know we are not alone. We know there's a place we can share and be honest and down to earth about what it's like being on this road of faith. Jesus was always welcoming the honesty of his disciples. Sure, he corrected them, he challenged them, and he equipped them to something greater, but he always listened to what they were saying and why they were saying it. Jesus never suppressed who they were, but he always encouraged them towards who they can become. This is how families are to be. This is how Paul and Epaphroditus were with one another, pushing each other on in the faith. And the second image is that of a worker. The gospel is hard work. It requires commitment, effort, offering our gifts and talents, working every day for the kingdom of God and going to bed tired but contented that we have faithfully worked for God's kingdom in some way that day. God calls us like Epaphroditus to be a worker. Jesus said to his disciples, come and follow me and be fishers of men. In other words, come work for me. At the end of the day, who have you worked for? Paul knew who Epaphroditus had worked for. And the third image that Paul gives us is that of a soldier. The imagery he uses here is of soldiers who are side by side in battle, fighting together. And we are, as the church, God's soldiers, but we're not up against a physical battle. We're writing, in Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then Paul goes on to describe the armour of God we need to wear each day. What are these rulers, authorities, forces? They are greed, pride, selfishness, envy, lust, laziness. They are the powers of injustice and hate. It is this we fight against in unity, in prayer, and holding on to the truth. Paul says he experienced this with Epaphroditus. And the last image that Paul gives us is that of a messenger. Basically, Paul is saying that Epaphroditus is the worked example of God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, to use a phrase out of the Lord's Prayer. We bake God incarnate for others. We translate what we find in the Bible into 2020, into life in lockdown, into our work ethic, into our relationships, into our family life, into our lifestyle at the golf club or with our neighbours. We pass on a message about who God is in our life and in the world, both by what we say and how we act. Paul reckons Epaphroditus will bring a powerful, you need to hear this, sit down and listen carefully, message to the Philippians. In his words, in his actions, in Epaphroditus, the message of God, the message of the gospel, the good news is being amplified. I've said it before, a couple of Sundays ago, that this letter of Paul's, and indeed the whole Bible, isn't meant to be some theological textbook. It isn't offering abstract ideas, thoughts, theories about life. It isn't irrelevant or old-fashioned nonsense. It's life and what life is like with God in our lives. How our lives can be. A quality of life that John wrote as life to the full, life to the max. And here we have Paul saying, I have two real life examples for you, worked examples of the gospel. So what I am saying is real and what I am saying is possible. Here's Timothy, here's Epaphroditus. The way we are able to successfully live like Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus and others such as Eunice and Lois and Lydia, Peter, Barnabas, Priscilla, Aquila, and all the others mentioned in the Bible who are worked examples for us is to have God in the centre of our lives. God to be your everything. Paul began chapter 1 by declaring, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He then in chapter 2 reminds us, it is God who works in you, both to create a will and bring about his good purposes. And in closing Paul's letter, he writes, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In other words, be in you. It is God in us who makes it possible for the gospel to be lived out, for us to be remade like tubs and boxes of a Blue Peter craft into the greater and better image of Jesus, transformed into something of greater worth and value. This is God and God's work. God who is still the God who came back from the dead, who rose from the grave, who left the dark tomb, who can transform death to life and life eternal. This is the power that you can have within you if you let God into your life. I hope someone is able to say about you and me, here's one God made earlier. Take a look at them and see what is possible with God.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the joy nature has brought to us over recent weeks. Help us to cherish and protect it. We applaud its beauty. We thank you for those who have cared for the sick, the elderly and the vulnerable, and for the many acts of kindness shown by people. We applaud their unselfishness. We pray for the multitude of people worldwide who mourn the death of a loved one, and we ask that you give them strength to face the future. We pray for those of our congregation who are ill in body or mind, and those who have been left devastated by isolation. Renew their friendships and faith in life. We applaud their courage and patience. We pray for the many charities who are much needed at this difficult time in many different ways and in many different countries. Be with them as they help others, and may the public's generosity go some way towards alleviating their hardships. We applaud their unfailing work. As lockdown has eased, we pray that you grant wisdom and guidance to the leaders of our countries so that they may make trustworthy and efficient decisions. May the test and trace system be successful. Our thoughts are with those in the millions of businesses whose futures are in doubt and who face severe financial difficulties. Be with those who have been made redundant. Help us to support and encourage them so that our economy may again thrive. We applaud their perseverance and persistence. Dear God, especially now we pray for all the various scientists who are working to develop vaccines and drugs to prevent and quash COVID-19. Guide them in their vital work and help them to cooperate with one another and share their knowledge so that the war against this horrendous virus may soon be won. We applaud their diligence. Dear God, as we step out into what we are told is a changed world, may we bring the good that we have experienced with us. The official hand clapping on Thursday night is over, but we will always be grateful. Grant us patience and wisdom as we look forward to that special day when our hands may be used not only to applaud, but once again to reach out and embrace one another in love, as your love embraces us. May we go in joy and peace. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.